it is time to get up with L.A., which needs AD ASAP. The superstar takes the blame. Are the Lakers in trouble in round one? Plus, we'll tell you why this is a huge day in Green Bay. Could it be the true beginning of the next chapter for the Packers? And we've got the one spot Julio might just land that could change absolutely everything in the NFL. All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now. What a weekend. Delighted you've chosen to get up with us here. We're going through all of it. Greeny, get up on this Monday. We are jam-packed. Our football crew is ready to go. We've got a Dominique and a pair of Dans ready to break down, as I mentioned, what could be the biggest day they've had in Green Bay since the season ended. But speaking of big days, there's only one place to begin, and that is in Kiowa, South Carolina, final round of the PGA Championship. Phil Mickelson entering the day with a one-shot lead at the age of 50, looking to become the oldest major champion in the history of the sport. Here he is on the par 3 fifth, second shot from the bunker. Phil has made a living getting out of bunkers, and he does it here. Oh, what a bird. It was that kind of day. Phil Mickelson and the crowds were gathering, and people are calling each other on the phone saying, make sure you're watching this. 10th hole, second shot. Mickelson was in total control so much of the day as all of the contenders were falling by his side. This is the ensuing birdie. And it's good, and the thumbs up were beginning, and the crowds were starting to gather around him. And now we go to 18. Mickelson, a two-shot lead on the par four. He's got a 9-iron from 174 yards away. All he has to do is not hit it backwards, and he's going to win the PGA Championship. And there it goes. At that moment, it was a coronation, and watch as he was surrounded by adoring fans, reminding us once again that if you spend a lifetime showing the fans you care about them, they will love you forever. And that was the theme yesterday. Was this a tad unnerving, those huge crowds? Certainly. Was it glorious? Absolutely. Mickelson finally navigating his way through, and then would require just a nice two-putt casual par. Here's the second of those, the tap in. And with that, Phil Mickelson has won his sixth major championship and becomes the oldest player ever to win a major at the age of 50. That's his brother Tim on the bag. What a day for Phil.
I think that I felt a couple of months ago, like even going into the Masters, that I was starting to play some really good golf at the high level again, but I didn't quite have the ability yet to focus intently for 72 holes, and it's what I've been really working on. And it's possible, Gene, that this is the last term I ever win. It's possible. It's also possible that I had a bit of a breakthrough in some of the things that I'm working on being able to stay more focused and more present, might send me on a little run for a couple of years. I don't know. But either way, I'm going to cherish this week and this moment.
Well, to say that Mickelson's victory defied the odds would be one of the great understatements you've ever heard. According to our friends at Caesars Sportsbook, he entered the tournament 200-1. Again, at 50, he becomes the oldest player ever to win a major, and it pretty much broke Twitter with what he did yesterday. Among those who were tweeting in his direction, his old rival Tiger Woods, truly inspirational to see Phil do it at 50 years of age. And how about another superstar who knows about doing it at an advanced age? That's Tom Brady tweeting, that's my quarterback, LFG, Phil Mickelson. I'll let you handle what the initials mean. Much more on Phil's big day as we continue. Meanwhile, to the game of the day from the NBA, Lakers, Suns, LeBron James, game one against Chris Paul, his old companion. This is their first playoff matchup in their history. But early on, take a look at Chris Paul. Just watch the spot shadow. Down goes Paul. He's got a shoulder and it looks bad. Even LeBron over to check on him. He would go to the locker room. He would later return. Meanwhile, the theme of the day was Anthony Davis struggling. Davis just 5 of 16 from the floor. A minus 18 for the game. Finished with just 13 points. Again, couldn't get anything to fall yesterday, and that was a factor. Fourth quarter, Suns are up 11. Cameron Payne turning it over. LeBron James going in the other direction. Lakers trying to make a comeback. They're within 9. Later, LeBron at the line. I want you to watch this sequence closely, as this time he is the one who's going to go down, and it's LeBron who is grabbing the shoulder. And then all mayhem would break loose. Take a close look here. I want you to watch. It's Payne and Alex Caruso as James misses. This is Caruso getting shoved. He doesn't like it. He gets up. He flips the ball away. Now they're drawing. Now here comes Montrezl Harrell from halfway across the floor. This would take a little while to get sorted out. Payne would get ejected, but in the end, this one would belong to Phoenix. Devin Booker, 34 points, 8 assists. Suns take game one, 99-90, and all the talk after was about AD and a tough first day.
There's no way we're winning a game, let alone a series, you know, with me playing the way I play. So, I mean, this was on me. I take full responsibility.
Anytime he comes to the pressure and tell you guys we can't win without him or with him playing the way he played, he always responds. So looking forward to that. And when AD is AD, then we're the Lakers.
And look who has gotten up with us here. It's Jay Will, the Jay from KJZ on ESPN Radio, spending a few minutes with us. All right, Jay, so the Lakers minus 18 with AD on the floor yesterday. How would you describe your level of concern?
Here's what really bothers me, that and people out there who watch sports and athletes who play this game, you hear coaches talk about this, Greeny. When you're playing against a team like the Phoenix Suns, a young basketball team, you know what you do? You come out right away in the opening minutes of the game and you put your foot on their neck. You let them know it doesn't matter what you did throughout the regular season, you do not belong on the court with us. We are going to send a message right from the beginning that we are the better team and we defensively are going to dominate you. And here's one of the frustrations I have with Anthony Davis. As he is a top five talent in the league, because he is, a lot of the times, and we can say this as fans, that top five talent does not translate into him being a top five player. And last night was a prime example of it. I saw DeAndre Ayton dominate the game in ways that AD should dominate the game. Now, I know he's owned this. I heard him at the post presser. I heard him say all the right things. But I want to see Anthony Davis be nasty. I want to see Anthony Davis with 16 rebounds. I want to see Anthony Davis with 42 points like he had the original meeting when they first played. These are the type of things when it comes to playoff basketball that you need to see AD be right from the beginning. I know we potentially will see that in game two, but this is a huge disappointment for the Lakers to start things off.
How about from LeBron with his teammate not carrying the load? LeBron wasn't able to carry them to win either. What did you see from him in game one of the series?
I think LeBron James was trying to find his spots. He was trying to find his place. Obviously with the CP3, with the shoulder, how is the soldier coming into this? I think there was a lot of other things happening as relates to health and safety protocol that I'm sure bogged LeBron James down before the game. I am not making excuses for LeBron James, but I'll tell you this. In order for the Lakers to actually beat the Suns, they need to shoot a lot better than 26% from the three-point line. Mm-hmm. And this will be a narrative that follows this team, Greeny. Their ability to space the floor and knock down shots. And also, can you play Anthony Davis and Andre Drummond together? You can't. These two cannot exist together. It clogs the lane for LeBron James to get to the rack. AD needs to be the five, and they need to be ready to shoot the ball from the outside and knock down shots. If they're not, the Phoenix Suns are going to win this series.
All right. Well, so that brings me to my concluding thought here. Our analytics, our BPI, Basketball Power Index, now favors Phoenix to win the series. Nope. Vegas still favors the Lakers. Nope. Which way are you going?
Nope. I'm going Lakers, man. CP3 with that stinger, I don't know what's going on with that. I still think the Lakers are the better team. Glad Phoenix got off to a head start, but the Lakers start knocking down threes, and they defend the way they can, the Lakers will win this series. I say in six, Greeny, in six.
Okay, we'll see. They drop game one. We'll see where it goes from here. Jay Will back over to the radio, KJZ on ESPN Radio. Thank you, Jay.
My man.
Okay, and then we get to this. The Green Bay Packers beginning their OTAs today with the cloud of Aaron Rodgers' dissatisfaction hanging over everything. Coming off an MVP season with 3 years remaining on his contract, but the money making it more realistic for him to depart much sooner than that if he so chooses. And the football crew is ready to go today. Dominique Foxworth, Dan Orlovsky, and Dan Graziano, I start with you. Just to be clear so everyone understands, in any normal year, this is the day we would expect Aaron Rodgers to be on the field for the first time with his teammates, right?
Right. Well, look, these are voluntary workouts, as important to stress. But yes, historically, Rodgers has been there for this portion of the offseason program. And I do not expect him to be there today. If he's there today, I know what your show tomorrow is going to be about. That's for sure. But I would think we're going to have a situation here where Jordan Love, last year's first-round pick that has helped create some of this issue through no fault of his own, will be there taking the first-team reps with the offense. Remember, Jordan Love, last year, no preseason games. Rodgers took all the first-team snaps all season long. This is the first chance Jordan Love has had to run the Packers offense since last year's training camp. So whether he's going to end up being the starter or not, the Packers need to see something from him here in these next few weeks in terms of improvement and command.
All right, so there are two pieces of this that I think are fascinating. There's the Aaron Rodgers piece and the Jordan Love piece. Dan Orlovsky, let's start with the Aaron Rodgers piece. We were talking earlier this morning before we came on the air about what we may find out about exactly what it is Rodgers wants here in the relatively near future.
Well, Greeny, how bad do you really want out, right? And the name that I'll throw into this situation is Aaron Rodgers' agent, David Dunn. Dave Dunn from Athletes First, he was my football agent. His role is super important in this because over the past weeks, ever since this news broke, I'm sure he's been having conversations with football teams. And what happens if he goes back to Aaron Rodgers and says, hey, the only team that's really going to make an offer for a trade to the Green Bay Packers that they're going to actually entertain is the Las Vegas Raiders. Then don't you have to go to Aaron Rodgers and say, you better fix this relationship because you're not going to win a Super Bowl with the Raiders. And that's why the question of how bad do you really want out comes into play. Because Aaron Rodgers, if you want out more than anything, then you're likely going to get your choice. But what happens if you want out and also going to a contender and that contender isn't worthy of giving or isn't willing to give up all those picks? That's where the reality of the grass may not be greener comes into play for Aaron Rodgers.
All right, so we'll see how he chooses to play that. In the meantime, we get someone who gets a chance to play now, Dominique, for the first time, Jordan Love. How would you describe the significance of this opportunity for him?
I mean, my initial feeling was kind of downplay it. It's OTAs. It's no big deal. They just want guys to check in. But then I think about it, like, it's a big deal for Jordan Love. This is the first time that he's going to have any real pressure on him in an NFL game. Like Graziano said to Stardust, he didn't play in the preseason last year. He didn't even dress for the games in the regular season last year. So there was no pressure. There wasn't even the chance that if Aaron Rodgers got nicked up, he would get a snap in a regular season game. Right now, he's entering with more pressure. As ridiculous as it sounds, this is the most pressure that he's been under. And I think that the Green Bay Packers are going to be watching him to see how he deals with this. And that may determine what they do going forward as far as trying to bring in another quarterback or getting serious about moving Aaron Rodgers.
All right, so we've got those things on the table. Go ahead, Danny.
Well, I think the important point for Dom that he made was that he didn't dress for a game last year. But what happens if? Like, what happens if, and I know it's OTAs, and so people understand you're not in pads, but what happens if he goes out and balls? What happens if Jordan Love all of a sudden goes out to OTAs and he looks fantastic? He's doing the right thing with his feet. The ball's going to the right place. It's jumping off his hands. He's got complete command of the huddle. Like, what happens if he goes out there over the next month, takes full advantage, and it starts to make the Packers sit back and go, this kid has taken the jump that we wanted. Like, that is a real thing that happens in OTAs for young players.
Well, I think nothing happens because I think this is one of those situations where there's not much to gain, but there's a lot to lose. If he meets the bar, people are going to say, oh, it's just OTAs. Good job. Congratulations. If he falls under that, then there's going to be some concern. If he gets to where he's supposed to get, then we're going to be like, all right, let's see what he does in training camp.
Right.
That's the next step.
No,
let's see what he does in the preseason. Let's see what he does in the regular season.
All right, so for the first time this week, I will say hold that thought. We will be back to it as we continue. I have a feeling we'll have met many more times as the day continues. Coming up, the potential trade involving this star receiver that could change absolutely everything in the AFC. Wait till you hear where we have him headed. Plus, could the signing of Tim Tebow in Jacksonville have a negative impact on the young star quarterback? Those are the questions. We've got the answers. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by PlayStation Plus. NBA playoff action this weekend. A thriller last night at Madison Square Garden. Hawks-Knicks, 15,000 in attendance. Largest gathering in New York City since the pandemic. What a night it was. 1 minute left in the game. Hawks are down by three. Knicks playing good defense, but the ball winds up in the hands of Bogey Bogdanovich, and he knocks it down, and that ties it at 103. Trae Young would make a couple of foul shots, so it's a two-point Atlanta lead. Knicks looking for the lead. It's no good, but Taj Gibson keeps it alive. The ball ultimately is going to find Derrick Rose. And his rebirth continues. The floater is clutch. We're tied at 105, under 10 seconds to go. Trae Young, what a fourth quarter he had last night. That basically put the entire team on him defensively. 4 seconds, 3 seconds, 2 seconds, and it's good. Silencing the Garden crowd. And let me tell you, they let him hear it all night. He let them hear it. Knicks had less than a second left, and this was the look they would get. Wouldn't have counted even had it gone. Atlanta steals game one on the road. We will have Zach Lowe and Kendrick Perkins with their perspective in just a few minutes here on Get Up. Meanwhile, Dan Graziano, let's run the hurry up through some NFL highlights and headlines from the weekend. What do we have?
Patrick Mahomes of the Chiefs exceeding expectations as usual, coming off of off-season surgery for turf toe. He will take part, we are told, in some Kansas City Chiefs team drills this week at OTAs. The original expectation was for him to be back at the June minicamp, which isn't for a few more weeks, but it looks like Mahomes will do some on-field work this week. Atlanta Falcons star wide receiver Julio Jones will remain in the news for a while. A week from tomorrow, Greeny, is June 1st. After June 1st, the Falcons can trade Julio Jones with much less cap impact than if they did it now. This is a story to watch throughout the summer. Jones has been in Dallas, getting the Cowboy fans fired up. He's been working out with Derrick Henry, getting the Titan fans fired up. Where will Julio Jones land is a story we will track for the next several weeks and months. And, of course, the story we've been tracking, Tim Tebow, the new Jacksonville Jaguars tight end. That's what they're calling him. He's never played that before. Signed his contract late last week. It is a minimum salary deal, $920,000. Nothing guaranteed. Again, more proof that Tim Tebow is going to have to earn his way onto the roster at a position that he has never played before. Certainly a salary and a contract like that, Greeny, reflects the fact that he's never played that position before and that over the last 8 years he's played as many NFL games as you and I have.
That's fair. It's a bit of a cheap shot, but it's fair. Let me come to Orlovsky here if I can.
Cheap shot.
Dan, I haven't had you on the show since this happened last week. I'm really interested to hear your perspective, particularly I've had some people suggest that this might be detrimental to the development of the young man who is supposed to be the future of that franchise, and that's Trevor Lawrence. What are your thoughts?
This is going to have zero impact on Trevor Lawrence. Now, let me be clear. This is not an Urban Meyer thing, and this is not a Tim Tebow thing. This is a Shad Khan thing, the Jaguars owner, okay? He decided to give Urban Meyer full power. And when you get full power, absolute power, use contact with reality. And the reality is Tim Tebow's not going to make this football team. He hasn't been great at football in 12 years, okay? So I'm not expecting him to be an impactful player on this football team. But when you have full power in the NFL, it usually ends up poor as a coach coming from college football. Chip Kelly, Bill O'Brien, it usually does not end well. And Shad Khan gave Urban Meyer this full power. Now listen, they took Trevor Lawrence to be the next Peyton Manning. They took Trevor Lawrence to be the next John Elway. If signing Tim Tebow in May is going to negatively impact Trevor Lawrence being those guys, he was never going to be those guys. I don't think this has any impact on Trevor Lawrence and the player that he is going to potentially be.
Okay, fair enough. But it does give Dominique Foxworth and I the opportunity to do our favorite thing, which is psychoanalyze people who we barely know from a distance. So we all know that Tim Tebow comes with a thing, right? There's a whole Tebow aura. It's kind of hard to define, but we all know what it is. Dominique, what if he does make the team? If he doesn't make the team, then obviously none of this matters. But if he does, then what?
I mean, I think if he does make the team, it doesn't necessarily make sense to me because he's not going to be a tight end. He's going to end up being a gadget player. And in that situation, you do take reps away from Trevor Lawrence. But I think you could look at it the other way. Like having Tim Tebow there and front page stories in Jacksonville being about what Tim Tebow is doing, because they will be, whether he contributes or not. Having that attention drawn away from Trevor Lawrence as he's trying to learn and develop, like you could argue that that is a good thing. I tend to not believe in like negative distractions because everyone kind of has things going on in their life. Like having a guy on your team is going to make you a worse football player. But I do find it interesting. I can't imagine that if Trevor Lawrence is going to be a great football player, Tim Tebow showing up should absolutely not get in the way of that.
Go ahead, Danny.
I agree. Listen, Trevor Lawrence has been in the spotlight since he could wipe himself, guys. Like, the spotlight has been on him since he was walked onto campus and won the national championship, okay? So, like, this is not going to have any type of impact. Whether Tim's getting a lot of attention and he wants the attention, I don't think Trevor Lawrence is like that. I think he craves normal life since he's been in the spotlight for so long. Or Tim is getting negative attention and it takes some eyes off Trevor Lawrence. This is about Trevor Lawrence and his development. This is a bad move by Urban Meyer because there's blind spots. There's no reason to add a Tim Tebow. Now, I'm not surprised. There's nepotism and cronyism in the NFL. But this Trevor Lawrence has been in the spotlight since he came out of diapers, essentially.
Go ahead, Nate.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just confused because off the top of this, you said he's been in the spotlight since he could wipe himself. And then you said the spotlight hit when he won the national championship at Clemson. So I'm really confused about Trevor Lawrence's development. There are some issues there if that's when he learned. It took a little while to catch up. Maybe reading defense is
like
going to be tough for that guy.
He was like you.
I still haven't learned, man.
Late bloomer.
I'm making up money. Somebody take care of that for me.
24 minutes in, and we are, again, proving to be the most immature show on the network. Graziano, quickly if we can, on the Urban Meyer of it all, which, I mean, I think Dan Orlovsky's point is a good one. Now, they give these guys total control of everything, and sometimes the smartest people know what they don't know. Yeah. How much concern are you hearing about the way this thing has started?
Greeny, there's a lot of skepticism around the NFL when a college coach comes in, especially gets this kind of power. A lot of people in the NFL looking for missteps and obviously can view this as a potential misstep for Urban Meyer early on.
Okay, very well done. We'll leave that there for the moment. There are a few more things I want to do. And again, that whole wiping thing, that if true, that could turn into a 30 for 30. But anyway, coming up, Dak Prescott says he's ready to do big things right now. But one of our crew says that may not matter. You'll find out why coming up. And then we've got our first sneaky Hembo time of the week. This one's going to be for Zach Lowe. Prior to yesterday, what was the last team to score fewer than 100 points and beat LeBron James in a playoff game? The answer is next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back on Get Up, and before we go anywhere else, we just need to make sure you saw this over the weekend. Simone Biles, maybe the greatest gymnast that ever lived. She landed and became the first woman ever to do so, the Yurchenko double pike vault move. It's a super high difficulty move that traditionally had only been done by men in competition. She's just operating on a level all to herself. It was her first competition in a year and a half. Meanwhile, here's the man who actually perfected that move originally. Zach Lowe is back to play sneaky hembo with us. And here we go, Zach. Prior to yesterday, what was the last team to score fewer than 100 points and beat LeBron James in a playoff game?
I know Hembo is going to be heartbroken when I get this, but I think I'm going to go with the scrappy, injury-riddled 2018 Boston Celtics in the conference finals.
Oh, my goodness, that's correct. Hembo is devastated.
Yes!
It was game five of the East Final. 96-83 was the final score. Devastation.
What's
for
up,
Mr. Hembo this morning. Well done, Zach. Sit there a second. Let me run the floor through some of the other games we haven't shown you yet, as all 16 NBA teams were on the floor over the weekend. Tobias Harris led the way with 37 for the Sixers yesterday. They took a game one win over the Wizards, 125-118. Joel Embiid added 30. Sixers a 1-0 lead in that series. We showed you the drama at the Garden last night, tied at 105. With less than a second remaining, Ice Trey, they call him, Trey Young, with the floater to silence the crowd and give the Hawks a 2-point win in game one over the Knicks. And then if you didn't stay up late last night, you missed Dylan Brooks and John Morant combining for 57. The 8-seed Memphis steals game one over the 1-seed Utah, which played without Donovan Mitchell, 112-109. And then we opened the show this morning with LeBron and Anthony Davis held to a combined 31 points. AD really struggling as the Suns took game one over the Lakers. Davis shooting 5-for-16 from the floor. Lakers will look to bounce back on Tuesday. And so here we go. Our favorite odd couple, Zach Lowe and Big Perk, Kendrick Perkins, getting up with us today. Big Perk, I will come to you. Out of, I mentioned all 16 teams in action over the last 48 hours. What was your number one takeaway from the weekend?
Well, Greeny, it had to be the Memphis Grizzlies, right? Just think about it. This team went into Utah, one of the hardest places to play in, and get a win. Utah beat people by 10-plus or more during the regular season. This young core is resilient. Dylan Brooks and John Morant, they're one of the most underrated backcourts in the game. And you know what, Greeny? Let me tell you something. It's not going to get easier for the Utah Jazz, because now this Memphis Grizzlies team, they have confidence. They have swagger. And like my grandmother say, they have old souls, baby. They really do. They have old souls, and they play with a great, inspiring-type chemistry.
For as young as they are, I agree with you. They basically won three playoff games now, you know, consecutively, beating San Antonio, Golden State, and then taking game one last night. Zach Lowe, how about you? What was your number one takeaway from the weekend?
Well, I can't speak to the age of anybody's soul, but number one would be the West looks wide open. If you had to pick a winner to win the West right now, who would it be? The Lakers are down, the Clippers are down, the Mavericks are up, the Grizzlies are up, the Suns look like a juggernaut, and some of the young kids in their first playoff games, Dylan Brooks, John Morant, Devin Booker, Trae Young, welcome to the stage. They look ready, baby.
It was a really good weekend in a lot of different ways. All right, I like that. Let me stay with you a second, Zach. We opened the show today with the Lakers. Anthony Davis, a minus 18 in the game yesterday. LeBron James with the shoulder. He maybe, who knows what was going on. You know, he had a little bit of a controversy off the floor over the weekend and all the rest of that. Are the Lakers in trouble?
Yeah, they're in trouble. I mean, if LeBron and AD, and particularly LeBron, is just not going to put his imprint on the game for 48 minutes, he can't wait till the last 5 minutes when they're down by 12 to start posting up and playing bully ball and all that. If he can't impact the game for 48 minutes, the Suns are good enough to win this series. Absolutely.
What do you think, Big Park?
I think Zach didn't get enough sleep last night. First of all, Zach, listen, the Lakers are not in trouble. Do we remember last year what happened in the postseason? They lost game one majority. They lost game one majority of the time. They always are going to bounce back. Anthony Davis is not going to have that type of performance that he had yesterday. I was very upset with him. He acted like he was allergic to the paint. He didn't get to the free throw line, settling for jumpers. But we know that he's going to bounce back with those Shaq, Wilt Chamberlain type numbers. And I'm just disappointed that you had the audacity to come on here today and say that the Lakers
boy.
Are in trouble.
Here we go.
I expect better out of you. I expect better out of you. And for you to come on here to say and say this morning, early this morning, is just disturbing to me.
I picked the Lakers in six. I'm sticking with the Lakers in six because I don't believe in changing your prediction after every game. I agree they will bounce back and play better. I'm just saying, if LeBron, because of his ankle, can't be LeBron, yes, the Suns have a chance to win this series. No one wants to think for some reason that they have a chance. If LeBron's in that stage, they do. And I do agree they will bounce back, and AD will probably put up 35 and 15. I expect the Lakers to win game two.
All right, again, we mentioned earlier, our analytics, our BPI now favors the Suns. Las Vegas still favors the Lakers. Super quickly, big perk, out of the 16 teams you saw this weekend, who looks like the NBA champ? Just who do you think, we've seen them each play one game. Granted, it is a tiny sample size. Who looks like the champion right now? Big perk.
It's the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, just think, they struggled, and I get it. They're playing against a injured Boston Celtics team. But the fact of the matter is that I never thought I would say the Brooklyn Nets will win that game on defense. Granted, they only scored 104 points, but they held the Celtics to 93 points, I believe it was. So I'm looking at this Brooklyn Nets team, and I believe that Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant and James Harden all combined for like 80-something points. That's crazy.
Yeah, they can beat you with an eight-minute spurt. You cannot play them for 40 minutes, and they will just win the game in the other eight. Guys, stay with me here. We'll come back to you off the top of the hour. Much more on the NBA playoffs from the Odd Couple as we go. But next up, Big D, Dak Prescott, recovering well from ankle surgery after suffering a compound fracture during week five of last season. He sat down with our Sage Steele, providing more perspective on his return to the field.
I'm right on pace. As I said, I'm healthy. If we had to play a game now, I feel like I can go out there, obviously, with the protection of my old line and making sure that I'm not getting beat up the whole game. I could go out there and be very successful, start the game, finish the game, and not even worry about the leg.
That is a little piece of the interview that Sage did with Dak, which will be, he'll be the first guest on her new show. It's called Up Close with Sage Steele. It'll premiere in June on ESPN+. Dominique, whenever Dak is the subject, obviously we have to begin with you, as obviously you're a member of the family.
Did you feel the confidence exuding out of cousin Dak? The man got his money. The man's feeling healthy and happy. Gosh. I cannot wait for this Dak Prescott MVP-level campaign. It is going to be fantastic. Cousin Dak's going to be on fire. And I know Dan Orlovsky agrees with me. They might win the division. Mess around and win the division, Dan.
They ain't going to win the division. You know what I would like, Dom, is for you know to know how to pronounce my last name. It's Orlovsky. Orlovsky, not Orlovsky. The Cowboys are the third best team in this division, okay? The Washington football team and the Giants are both better. And I'll give you two reasons why. One, I think the Giants and the Washington football team are better coached. And two, if Ryan Fitzpatrick and or Daniel Jones plays good football, these are both going to be really good teams and playoff contending football teams. If Dak Prescott plays good football, that's still not a playoff team because their defense is still that bad. Their defensive line last year gave up 3.5 yards per carry before touching the person running the football. And they didn't do anything to address that defensive line substantially in the draft. The Giants and the Washington football team are better than the Dallas Cowboys.
Nate.
You're probably right, Dan Orlovsky. They're not going to win the division, but I don't care about the division at this point. I care about cousin Dak cooking these fools. I'm not a Cowboys fan. I'm a Dak Prescott fan. We established this a long time ago. I jumped on Dak when y'all all jumped off of him. Now all of a sudden, people have respect for him. Now all of a sudden, people...
The question is, which team is going to win the NFC East, not how is Dak Prescott going to play this season?
Don't let the Chiron run your life. I talk about what I want to talk about on this show. Dan Orlovsky. Chill out, Orlovsky.
That's funny. That hasn't been called a Chiron since like 1991, but that's fine. Dan Graziano, let me come to you because you covered that division forever. He's got the Giants better than the – who is the best team in that division?
I don't know. Like, the third best team in that division could win it. Like, that's the NFC East. It's the Washington was a 7-9 champion last year. And remember, the Giants were upset because the Eagles gave away a game, so they didn't get to win the division at 6-10. So having covered the division, all I've really learned is that you have no idea what's going to happen. No one has repeated as its champion since 2004 when the Donovan McNabb, Andy Reid, Philadelphia Eagles did it. So I have a hard time picking Washington. Earlier this offseason, I think I picked the Giants, but I think by the end of the offseason, I'll have picked everyone in one way or another. Look, I mean, the Eagles, if Jalen Hurts plays well, they've made some pretty good additions, right? I mean, like, the Ryan Kerrigan signing is not nothing. The NFC East is completely unpredictable. We haven't seen Dallas's new defense. We know they're going to score points. I don't see any reason why they can't do it, but anybody could.
Their defense.
Valuski, final word.
Their defense is the reason they can't do it, okay? I'll put it to you guys. This is a simple question. If Dak Prescott, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Daniel Jones all play really good football, which team is best suited to support that really good football and win the division? The Dallas Cowboys would fall third in line.
You're right about that, but I've had enough Morlovsky for this morning.
I will say that
those other quarterbacks can play really good football. That's the best they can do. Dak can play great football. They can't.
They were 0-4 with it last year.
But that's okay. As we continue in just a moment, we'll talk about another guy who's played some great football who might be headed to a new team. With a one spot Julio might land that would change everything is next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions for you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Well, Dominic Foxworth now has multiple segments on this show that are built around him, but you never forget your first, and this is the first. I will ask a series of provocative questions, and Nick has to answer them, and here we go. First question. What was more impressive to you, Tom Brady winning the Super Bowl at 43 or Phil Mickelson winning a major at 50?
Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking about it a lot since we brought this up, and I think I have to go with Phil Mickelson. Because you're golfing. You're out there by yourself. And there's no one to hide behind. There's nobody to take some of the blame or take some of the responsibility. And there's kind of less randomness. I think winning a championship in football, there's a lot of randomness in a single elimination tournament. And you get a lot of help if, say, your defensive line starts balling or your playmakers are making plays. So I think that it might be more difficult to win a Super Bowl at the age that Tom Brady had. But I think it's more impressive to see Phil do it over the course of several days.
They are both the oldest at their respective positions, if you will, to do what they did. All right, I like that. Next one. Which team has a better shot at making the playoffs this coming season, Steelers or Patriots? Go.
This is a tough one. I'm going to have to go with the Patriots, I think, because the unknown of the Patriots is interesting. They're bringing back Dante Hightower, and they've made so many additions through their draft and free agency to improve this team. And there's still that residual respect that we have for the Patriot way and Bill Belichick. I believe in that and the potential of their young quarterback, because I'm not sure that Cam's going to make it through the season. You look at all these new names that, and some old names returning, including Kyle Van Noy. That this team seems like the arrow is pointing up and it's a question mark. With the Steelers, it feels like the arrow is pointing down, and where there are question marks, it's hard to get excited about their offensive line improving or their running game improving.
Yeah, it's another one where we sort of trust the brand more, I think, than we trust what we see on the field. All right, last one. Give me the best fit for Julio Jones.
I think it's San Francisco, the 49ers. We've talked about them a lot this offseason. Is they're a team without any real holes, and their best receiver is George Kittle, a tight end. You would love to see them add a kind of all-time great true number one, reunite Julio Jones with Kyle Shanahan, and see the type of season they could put together. It's hard to convince me that there's any place that Julio would feel more comfortable, any offense that he would feel more comfortable than a Kyle Shanahan offense with a young athletic quarterback and Trey Lance. That's the best spot.
Well, that certainly is one of the many intriguing possibilities. But let me bring back Graziano and Olshinsky here. And Danny, I will start with you. You have a different team I'm sorry, it's becoming a running joke. You have a different team in mind for Julio Jones. Which team is that?
I would say the New England Patriots. I think that the AFC is a class of three teams right now. I think it's the Buffalo Bills, I think it's the Cleveland Browns, and I think it's the Kansas City Chiefs, obviously. And if the New England Patriots got Julio Jones, he would vault them into that group of now four football teams. I don't think it's a team that goes, okay, they've got a rookie quarterback on a rookie salary, let's take the risk here, because then I think it's going to cost you so many picks to go get Julio, you take away some of the assets that you're going to need to build around your young quarterback once you pay him. New England's a great opportunity because we don't talk about how dominant their offensive line is going to be. This offense goes in 1 year from really pedestrian last year to, if they got Julio Jones, they would be one of the hardest offenses in the NFL to stop. They'd have a dominant offensive line, a super creative play caller in Josh McDaniels, and then a one-on-one weapon on the outside that is almost impossible to cover in that situation. The Patriots.
So we're talking about the Niners, and we're talking about the Patriots. Dan Graziano, let's make it clear why we're talking about Julio Jones. What is generally the expectation you're hearing around the league for what happens with him?
I think more likely than not, he gets traded. I don't think it's 100%. It's a tricky situation. Remember, Julio Jones is a player that is really, really revered and loved by the Atlanta Falcons fan base in a way that I think if you're not there, you really don't fully understand. You have a new GM and a new coach coming in. If their first act is to trade such a player, they really need to get it right. And they need to make sure and get good value for him. It wouldn't happen until after June 1st for cap reasons. If they did it now, it would cost them $23.25 million against their cap and dead money this year. They wait till after June 1st, that number drops to about 7.75. So watch it over the next few months, but it's a situation that I think most people around the league believe will end in Julio Jones playing somewhere else in 2021.
All right, so again, there are still impactful moves that could get made during this offseason. Next order of business, I want you to hear something that was said over the weekend. But to set it up, Justin Herbert will be entering his second year looking to improve upon having been the rookie of the year in year one. And this time he's going to be under a new coach and a new coaching staff. The new head coach is Brandon Staley. Bruce Arians, who's been around, the head coach of the Buccaneers, says that isn't to the benefit of the young quarterback, telling NFL.com's Jim Trotter, worst thing that can happen, learning new isn't ever good. So Dan Orlovsky, I am on record, and I'm going to ride this thing as saying Justin Herbert is my pick to be the MVP of the league this coming year. So explain to me why what Bruce Arians said shouldn't make me worried.
Oh, thankfully we got the iPad. Greening, I don't think learning new is always a bad thing. I'd say the new offensive coordinator, Joe Lombardi, that goes to the Chargers, he needs to take what Justin Herbert does really well and build the offense around it. They really need to be like LMFAO, right? Shots, 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 and shots for Justin Herbert. Why? Brain and bombs coming from the right shoulder. Last year, a perfect example. This is against Tampa Bay. Super Bowl champion. Now, Tampa Bay's defense is going to be in a quarters defense, zone defense. Again, each defensive back is responsible for a quarter of the field. Now, this is a max protection play action pass. They're going to take their offensive line and they're going to slide them this way, bring this guy, slide the offensive line that way, bring this guy back and sift. And they're going to go seven-man protection to take advantage of those shots, the bomb downfield. Now, the pass concept is going to be this. They're going to take this receiver cut split and run them through those two safeties. Now, your job, receiver, speed between those safeties. This is not a Justin Herbert responsibility. You as the receiver, go win. Now, down at the bottom of the screen, I'm going to send you up, out, deep, and back. Now, Justin Herbert knows, because of that quarters coverage, this guy's not really my first responsibility view-wise. This corner is. I need that corner because I've got the out, up, and back. I need that corner to sit. Now, again, play action pass bombs, okay? This is going to be perfect for Justin Herbert's skill set. Now, look at his eyes. He's coming out trying to see that corner. He knows that corner, because it's in quarters coverage, has got vision on him. All right, corner, are you hanging low? But why is he hanging low, Dan? Why do you want to see if that corner is going to sit? Because I'm taking this guy and I'm running him through those safeties. Receiver, go with speed down the field. I can launch the ball. I'm 6'5", 240 pounds. Now Herbert's going to bring his eyes down to the corner and now he's going to go back to that safety. Okay, safety, did you squat just a little bit? You weren't my first read. You're my second read. Did you squat a little bit? Now this is what's separate from Justin Herbert to a lot of young quarterbacks. All right, ball's coming out of his hands. Now everyone see, that's about the 36-yard line, right? that play action bomb pass 36-yard line. The receiver hasn't even beaten either of the defensive backs right now. But that corner sitting tells him, I can launch this ball all the way down to space. Now, I told you it's from the 36-yard line, and now let's see where it lands. That ball's going to come down about the 2-yard line. I went to UConn 17 years to graduate. That's 48 plus 14. That's 62 yards in the air. He saw the corner, realized the safety was going to be beat, and let's launch this football. Again, look at the space that Justin Herbert realizes I can go throw that ball to. Not a lot of people in the NFL can push that ball 60-plus yards down the field while they got those human beings about to rip their chest apart. But Justin Herbert's smart enough, he's powerful enough, tough enough, and talented enough to do it. Listen, he's going to have to learn a new offense. He's super smart, and he's really talented. Justin Herbert is going to play great for the Los Angeles Chargers.
Awesome. So you and I are on the same page, or at least you're maybe headed in my direction. I've got Justin Herbert for MVP in 2021.
I like it.
Remember where you heard it. We'll talk more about it as we go. In the meantime, a reminder, if you're looking for baseball, we're the place for you tonight. Game one of a three-game set in the NL Central leading Cardinals and the AL Central leading White Sox, 8 Eastern tonight on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Coming up, what happened to Anthony Davis in Phoenix? How much trouble are LeBron's Lakers in already? Those are the questions. We'll have the answers next. Get up on ESPN.